You're listening to a Chicks Talking Footy podcast on Joy 94.9. We are chicks serious about footy.
No, we're not.
Welcome to Chicks Talking Footy. I'm Motti, your host for the show this week, and joining me tonight are Fee and Rachel. Hello, chicks.
Hello from the Hawks Hub. You're the meat of the Hawks sandwich.
I'm timing this, and that was 15 seconds. That is just, I think that's how the show's going to go, isn't it? Right.
Yeah. We did warn you.
We did warn you. For everybody listening, we were told as well we had to restrict our Hawthorn talk to 3 minutes, so can't make that promise.
We've already and used 25 seconds.
And you've already said interpreted as 3 minutes each, so, you know. Anyway, on tonight's show, we're going to talk about footy because, really, our love of footy seems to be the only thing that isn't changing daily in our worlds at the moment. We'll chat with Luke Power, who's the head of development at Carlton. We'll preview round 10, or should we just say we'll preview footy in general, because who even knows what round it is anymore?
Yeah, I'm totally lost.
I think I'm even confused because I think I meant to say review round 10, not preview. Yeah, review. Yeah, so there you go. Review, I'm lost. Yeah.
True.
Could be so anything.
You don't even know if you're previewing or reviewing.
This could be round 44 as far as I know. Anyway, and as always, we'll switch on the mood lighting for the award-winning dinner table segment. But I guess firstly, chicks, being Melbourne-based, how are you going, really, with the massive changes to the Stage 4 restriction?
Honestly, it's horrible. It's just awful. It's awful for everybody. And it's disappointing and deflating. And I hope everybody's proud of the amazing achievements they've made to date, because it's just awful.
It is. And the changes are so dramatic that it's hard to, for even the most sort of resilient type of personalities, it's really hard to keep yourself up.
It is.
Not think of like, oh, shit, this has already been 5 months or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Much longer.
It's funny. I mean, Rachel and I have both been hit by the childcare closures. We both got toddlers or young children. And, I really think that's going to have a massive effect on industry. It's going to have a massive effect on families, you know, people working, you know, a couple working full time. It's going to be a tough, you know, 6 weeks for Victoria. And, you know, big shout out to all our listeners that are in the bunkers with us at the moment. And at least in the second lockdown, we've got football to watch. The first lockdown, we did not have football.
That's true. And a shout out as well to everybody in our community and to Victoria, because we can do this. We can do this. We've got to do it. It's about safety, and it's about the community, and it's about everybody, not just me, for example. But I think in saying that, it's also okay to be quite honest and vulnerable and just say it's a bit awful.
I agree, because, you know, like, there is, in my case, I've been completely lucky that my work has not been affected, and nor has my partner's work. So really, this is an exceptional situation, but I know we're probably rarer than the norm. And so, but at the same time, I agree with you, Rach. It is okay to go, I'm just having a bit of a bad day with this. You know, I might still have my job, but it's like, wow, this is really hard.
Yeah, border closures are really tough. It's we've got family in Brisbane that we haven't seen since February. When we've got a young child, that's pretty sad. Even just sitting in Melbourne and watching crowds at the football in other states, it's that just seems like a complete impossibility from where we're sitting.
I agree. But people do need to be really kind to themselves, I think, at this point of time.
And to each other.
Except for maybe Alistair Clarkson, that has to make sure that Hawthorn keep winning. Okay, I'm sorry.
Beautifully done, right? You bring him back to
thank
40.
You.
I love
start
it.
Start the clock.
So, anyway, we might have a, you know, little talk about the actual footy. So, as I said, I'm fairly confused as to what round we're actually in. So, should we just say, let's talk about footy that's taken place over the last week?
We shall.
I think that's an excellent idea, Moddy, because I cannot keep up.
We'll potentially upset Bree because she's all over round numbers and days and dates. But anyway, I'm not up as good as that. So, should we start with your team, Port Adelaide, Rachel? They played the Doggies on Monday night at the Adelaide Oval. And according to the AFL website, top-notch power kicked clear after downing wasteful dogs.
Interesting. Port Adelaide were great after the first half, particularly. Oh, look, I think they're a powerhouse. It's about time. I've only been predicting it for 7 years. Dixon was amazing. Look, but then it's hard. Bulldogs are very up and down at the moment.
Sure are.
It's,
what does it mean?
Yeah.
Well, I listened to Ken Hinckley's press conference because, gee, I haven't got much to do. Managed to listen to that. but he was the first person, the first coach I've heard say, talk about the 4-day and 5-day turnaround. And, you know, he just said, it's tough. He said, and whoever says it isn't is not perhaps not telling the truth, or that's what he alluded to. Because he said, you know, we were flat the first half. He said, you are. You just are. And then he said, but we kicked in the third quarter and that's when we won it, and I'm really proud of the boys. And he said, and that we showed resilience. And that's what's going to need to happen for teams.
I've been thinking about the football and watching it from more of a strategic point of view, because their fatigue management system that they must be engaging with must be extremely different in the current circumstances, and I'd be really interested to know how they're strategically planning for this, you know, 29 games in 20 days. It must be really difficult. It must be a logistical nightmare to try to manage that, and you can see it in team.
I think Port Adelaide are a real testament to strength and agility in this COVID mad season that we're having. I mean, they're on top of the ladder, and they've been all over Australia. They've been living in hubs. I think they really want to win this year in their 150th year, and I think they're really motivated. And Rachel, we could shut her up for once.
I'm just laughing because Rachel's, seeing her on the Zoom, she's punching the air. She's ridiculous.
finally, my prediction will come true.
But it's interesting. Anyway, they really sort of ended. It was even at halftime. They kicked away in the third quarter, as we said, and they won. So
yes,
good on you, Port. Let's have a crack at some other games.
All right, where were we? What's next?
Maybe let's have a look at Dogs versus Tigers last Wednesday night.
It's so weird. We're talking about Bulldogs again.
Good point. And they got soundly beaten in this time. So
they did.
But this is a bit more about the Dusty Show. Did either of you guys see this game?
Yeah, I watched this game.
I have to admit, I didn't watch this game, but I'm not surprised by watching the Dusty Show.
He was exceptional.
Look, a lot of us tipped the Bulldogs because there's some games they've been playing that they've been absolutely exceptional. But they have been really up and down. Some they're either abysmal or awesome. There's no sort of in between, it seems, with them. But they were awful as well. On top of that, so they allowed a lot of space for Dusty. They just
errors. Tom Lynch played well. Revolt played well. It came together for Richmond on the night as well.
And that's right. Tom Lynch and Revolt got some. Goals, which they hadn't been doing. If I could just refer to the AFL's website, Tigers dominate as red hot dust blows dogs away.
Can you imagine if you were from anywhere else in the world and English isn't your first language and you come to this country and you to learn as part of potentially what you want to do is to learn English and you start reading these headlines, you would just be absolutely flabbergasted. You go, why is dust blowing dogs down the street? Making no sense.
So make a lick of sense.
Maybe I will. Maybe I will do the AFL website headline for each of the games.
Maybe
that we discuss.
I think so.
So anyway, Richmond at 90 points, 13-12-90 beat Bulldogs 7-7-49, and Dogs really just were never in it. But Mabia Chole looks an unbelievably good player. He jumps. He's like one of those guys that seems to jump horizontal. Like he can. He's like a high jumper. Yeah. He can take so much leap, and he was nearly marking everything. So one day when that all comes together, he's going to be hard to beat, I reckon.
Casbolt. The jump, but can mark as well, unlike Casbolt.
Yeah. Well, that's right. I don't know about his kicking like Casbolt, but, you know, he's a leaner kind of guy, so he's, he can. Anyway, we'll keep an eye on him. And his development, I think he's one to watch. He also has wild haircuts, which is, and you know, flashes of yellow dyed in them and stuff.
Commitment. I like it.
Mick Malion, have you been paying attention?
Correct. Yes. Correct. Yeah. Yeah. He just didn't quite look the same, though.
Yeah. Funny that.
Yeah.
He didn't quite nail it in the same way.
No, it didn't quite look as funky and youthful.
Yeah. Now, I'm just going to read the AFL headline of the next game we're going to discuss, and I'll just see if you can recognise it. scrolling, chatting amongst ourselves. Okay. Ah, you will get it. Don't write them off. Comeback Hawks stun fast starting Blues. That's not that exciting, is it? But anyway, over to you girls.
No. Right. Well, so I turned it off. I stopped. I was like,
the Carlton Hawthorn game.
Done. Yeah, I was done after the first
I did quarter. Text. I text Rachel. I text
and I
Rachel.
I get a text from Fiona going, put it back on. I go, what? And I did. And hurrah, hurrah, I say.
Because we were 5 goals down for quarter time.
I'm speechless, which is rare. You turned it off, Rachel. Is that what you're saying to me?
I did. I was disgusted. I wanted no part of it. I thought, oh, goodness. I mean, it's great for Carlton. But enough is enough. I can't watch.
Oh, God.
I look
went and
forward
kicked the dog.
Watching... Yes, exactly. I look forward to watching football tomorrow. I have no interest in this game. And then, thankfully, my good friend Fiona went...
Turn it back on. I was actually texting some Hawks friends going, I hope you're watching. This is exciting.
Anyway, chicks, what a... Shane, we've got to go to a break.
No!
You must be spewing.
I have so much to say.
We'll finish afterwards. Well, it's Chicks Talking Footy, as you all know, and we got rudely cut off talking about Carlton v Hawks, and I'm just feeling so kind that I'm yet turning it over again to Fee and Rachel to keep talking about their beloveds.
Well, one good thing about the Hawks-Carlton game for us was Jarman Impey was back after a long...
He what?
It would have been about a year.
Yeah.
Was it an ACL? Did he have?
ACL.
Yep.
And he's such a loved player. He kicked a goal during the game and the players all just came from everywhere to give him a cuddle. It was so good to see him back on the field.
And so does it I do love to see someone come back from a post, you know, knee injury. It's just it must be such a mental thing that they have to overcome as well. But is he the sort of I don't know his style of play. Is he kind of that electric type player that you know really injects a bit of zip around the place?
Yeah, he's very quick on the wing. He's very clever in the way that he kind of can get through different plays, and he's just a nice guy. So
I don't personally know Mr. Impey. But talking of how awesome Hawthorne are, because I'm pretty sure that's what we're doing. Dave, what a star. What a little star. He did an amazing job. Very impressed. I was blown away. I was blown away. I was like watching Hawthorne play good football again. It was so exciting.
Yeah, I think everyone needed that win. But I'm happy to stop talking about the game now, Moddy. We can talk about another game.
Well, one thing I do want to mention is Carlton, because that is a turnaround of, what, 30 points?
Yes.
And
they should.
I, in honour of Breezer, did a bit of a stat hunt, and I found
that is
stat hunts with Motti. I found that is the 13th time in 20 matches under David Teague that Carlton have conceded a 30-point turnaround.
Oh, not a good stat for David.
That is not good. Yeah.
Wow.
I was really surprised, but that is not good.
That is a fun fact.
I think Carlton are onto something, and we actually had a chat, as I mentioned at the start, with Luke Power, who's the head of development at Carlton. We talked to him about the club, so you'll hear a bit more on that later.
Maybe they're just not ready yet? But they're just not there yet. They're showing signs of brilliance, but they're not a cohesive, brilliant team yet. Because their statistics were shocking as well. I mean, their possessions, their contested possessions after the first quarter, they just dramatically dropped. So maybe they're just not, it's just not a package deal yet. But they will get there, I think.
I mean, seasoned teams, they just know how to pull themselves out of the mire. And
yes. Exactly.
When these guys are, as you said, a newer group together or younger or whatever, they find it hard to turn the Queen Mary, as the old saying goes.
Yeah,
anyway,
I agree.
Thank you, ladies, for your constraint. Appreciate it.
Oh, it was hard. It was really hard.
And I'm so kind that I'm even going to mention the Bombers game. And open it up to you guys to go, what the hell? Because we were absolute rubbish. We got thumped by Brisbane. At the end of the day, it was 91 to Brisbane and 28 to Essendon. But I really don't think we got to the ball once first. Did anyone bother watching?
I watched a little bit and then went, this is not interesting enough for me to watch.
No.
Can I just say, with the constant barrage of football, I feel a bit more confident to say, actually, I won't watch this game. I'll watch the one tomorrow night because I'm not going to be left. I feel like I'm still going to get my football fix. I'm like, oh, this isn't a very good game. I'll watch it. I'll watch another one tomorrow. So
yeah, it will be interesting to say.
I looked at the score and said, yeah, I'm not interested. Sorry,
it was so poor. It was so poor. We just, you know, we just didn't fire a shot. Like it says to me, well, there's problems. I mean, and every team will face these sort of things, I guess, over the season. But we Charlie Cameron, by the way, for Brisbane, electric. You know, Eddie Betts is, you know, we love the way he can do his wonderful goals. Charlie Cameron was fabulous. Ex-Adelaide, they'll be spewing that he's gone. But he kicked four goals and he just tore us apart. He just did what he wanted. The only highlight for the Bombers was Sam Draper, is a ruckman who's come off an ACL and played his first game. He's got a super mullet and a mo, and he did a really good game. So he's a dude. So we're finally Essendon have got a dude. And but it was really good. He's 2 metres. He can leap. He can run. He had a really good game. So that was a highlight. And onward, Christian soldiers. Let's move on.
Don't bring that into it. Abysmal game. Not worth watching if you weren't a supporter by a long stretch. But Brisbane are looking good this season.
They are looking good.
But it could be an interstate, quote unquote, grand final. To interstate teams,
yeah,
what do you reckon?
Absolutely.
Could be. There was a bottom of the ladder clash as well. North versus
Crows. We've already done the Hawthorn. Get it?
Okay. Now, this was North versus Crows. It was 17th versus 18th. How would you be feeling if you were your Bechdel at the moment, Crow supporter?
I was going to say, I didn't watch this game, but I knew what the score was when we got a text from Beck saying, I'm really looking forward to the draft. I went, I don't need to watch the game. I'm completely aware of what the score line must be.
Yeah. But one good thing that did come out of that was Magic Door did his return game after, I think, 2 years since his accident, which is just amazing. I mean, he broke his hip and had all sorts of injuries that he's had to recover from. It must have taken an enormous support from the club and an enormous amount of determination to get back and play at AFL standards. And then he kicked a goal.
He had to learn to walk again, is what one of the quotes after the game was. I mean, that's... And he's... Yeah. Yeah. As you said, extraordinary resilience, but also amazing support from the club. And, you know, everything we sort of seem to talk about North Melbourne is they're progressive and they've got a good team environment, haven't they?
Yeah,
we like to think it's because of Laura Kane being the head of football.
Yeah, they're very kind. But yeah, they did a ceremony for him at North Melbourne as well. They got all the players around and welcomed him back at Arden Street. It was a really beautiful moment. So, yeah, I'll have a listen to that now.
It's been 706 days since he's played AFL football. We've seen his journey, we've seen how much work he's done to get back to this point. It's been an incredible journey. And this feat that he's going to achieve this weekend is going to be one of the great stories in AFL footy. So join with me, congratulating the big fella. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Lovely.
They really are a good club, aren't they?
They are.
All right. A Pride game.
It was Pride
let's
game.
Talk about the Pride game. Yay!
Yeah. It was Pride game this Saturday. Yeah. And I thought it was so great that, you know, we obviously spoke to Matt Finnis, the CEO of the Saints, and Tom Harley, CEO of the Swans, last week. But I just thought, how great that these clubs didn't go, oh, look, it's a bit of a weird season, we won't bother this year. Yeah. They still did what they could, and it was very, you know, it had to be very rushed because they got their fixture announcement only less than 2 weeks before the game. And they had all the rainbow around the boundaries. Saints Pride sent up a massive rainbow flag for behind the goals. They still, and they had a virtual event on the Friday night before, and the Saints did an event with Jacinta Franklin and different people from around the club during the week. Which I attended, and it was. I just thought they still went to a lot of effort to educate and make it part of their club and stick with their commitment to do it, because they have, both clubs have committed to doing it every year, and it was a wonderful gesture from both of the clubs and commitment from both of the clubs.
And both of the CEOs, as you said, Matt and Tom, are very genuine people, but very genuine about their club's involvement in this game.
Yeah, and congratulations to the Saints, who won their first Pride game and
yes,
just absolutely
yay, flourished. I know, so exciting. Yeah. So I listened to this on the radio. So sadly, I missed out on all the visual excitement.
Yeah, so did I. I was listening on the radio, but as I've been, I'll refer to the AFL headline: Saints blast past Swans with final term blitz. See what they've done there? They've gone blast and blitz.
Blitz.
Yeah, just
genius.
Yeah. Amazing.
Amazing. North. North.
Right. What have we got?
One more game. Let's go through one more game.
Okay.
Can we talk West about Coast this Geelong? Game? Because the West Coast Geelong, because I watched this game and I think it was two amazingly skillful teams. It was such a great game to watch. And Geelong were leading, I think, and don't quote me, people, for 73 minutes. And I think, or 63 minutes. West Coast led for 17 minutes and West Coast still won, which demonstrates how amazingly skillful they are. Nick Napnui was so exciting to watch. He was commanding in ruck. It was such a good game. And I think both of those teams excellent, but I think West Coast, they could easily be a contender at the grand final. Watching them on the weekend. They just, oh, it was just such a good game to watch. I really enjoyed it.
Well, they're going to go, yeah, like you said, they're going to go a long way. They're absolutely stacked with talent. Kennedy has started to kick some goals. And
yeah, Kennedy was great.
They go to sleep in their own beds. And they will for the rest of the season.
To be leading for only 17 minutes of the game and to win like that, gosh, that is a sign of a great football team.
Great team.
It's skillful, it's exciting. I thought this was one of the best games I've watched for quite a while during this season, actually. I really enjoyed it. Plus, your long loss. So it was really a win-win.
It's always satisfying, yes.
Of course it is.
But Geelong were also excellent, though. They still played a great game of football. I just thought this was such a good game. I was so glad that I watched this game. And I think it could be a West Coast Brisbane or potentially Brisbane Port Adelaide grand final.
And it will not be held in Melbourne either, so...
No.
That's definite now, isn't it?
Yeah, definite now.
Well, yeah.
All right. Well, in a moment, we're going to come back and we're going to come back and you'll hear all about our chat with Luke Power from Carlton Football Club. You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy with Fee and Motti. We are now joined by Triple Premiership star with the Brisbane Lions and now Head of Development at the Carlton Football Club, Luke Power. Welcome, Luke, to Chicks Talking Footy.
Yeah, Motti, Fee, how are you?
We're both good. I'm good. I'm in Melbourne, so things are, let's call it difficult, shall we, in Melbourne at the moment.
It's definitely been a challenging week.
But where do we find you, Luke?
Currently, I'm in Perth. At Joondalup Golf Resort with the Carlton team in quarantine. We've come over to WA from the Gold Coast, where we've previously been staying in quarantine for 2 weeks on the Gold Coast, and now we've had to come back over to WA to quarantine again for 2 weeks. So the quarantine period finishes on Sunday when we play the West Coast Eagles, and then we can get out and in a small way be amongst the communities, obviously with a couple of restrictions still.
So what does quarantine look like?
The quarantine looks a lot better for us currently than it does for a lot of other people. Definitely for people that unfortunately have to be in a hotel room, especially with other family members. So I could imagine it'd be quite tough, but we're fortunate that out here at Joondalup that we have nine golf holes to be able to walk around. We've got a pretty large area to ourselves, you know, where we can enjoy each other's company and be able to do different things. So it's not too bad. Obviously, we still can't get out into the general public and the community. But yeah, we can do a lot more than most people would be able to do in these circumstances.
Well, make sure you don't go for a facial out there, Luke. So when you took the role at Carlton this year, what responsibilities as head of development, or what were your responsibilities as head of development, and how has your role changed during COVID times?
It's changed a fair bit due to the circumstances. So when I first came to Carlton Football Club, we had a team of four who were basically assigned to look after mainly the younger players at the club, but also development for me never stopped. So obviously we're keeping an eye over the development of the whole list, but mainly the first to 3 year players, which we refer to as our academy players. That includes on and off field development across a number of different areas. I mean, obviously the most important one's football, but also we go into off field areas too and work with our well-being personal development staff to make sure that the players are really well-rounded and have a balance in their life. Since COVID hit, our team's been cut in half, so unfortunately we've lost two people from our development team. So there's only two that remain, myself and one other, Daniel O'Keefe, who's doing a fantastic job, as with the other coaches who were there. But so definitely in terms of resources, we're definitely down, but we need to be able to get on with it and really enjoying being part of a really good football club who's slowly building at the moment. And it's when you're in charge or when you're looking after young players, it's great to see the way that they grow, and it gives you a lot of joy to see them come along and do well.
Yeah, a few people that we've spoken to this year have said actually some positives that come out of the hub is a lot of young players are spending time with some of the senior players in a more intense way and learning and growing very fast. But how do you prevent it being so football focused that there's no side exposure?
It's really, really hard. I guess the number one thing is to be aware that because we are living and breathing it every minute of the day, there is going to be some saturation. So to be aware and to be able to have a plan, we spend a lot of times with our players going through scenarios of things that can happen. So when they do come up and challenges do come up, that they actually have a plan to be able to work through a process, to be able to get through it.
What's an example, Luke, of one of those scenarios that you help them with?
Definitely, as Fee said, it's you know, they're in a hub. We talk about balance all the time on and off field, and you know, we're at our players as much as anything to make sure that they're having freedom and fun, so that when they come and play footy, that they can be playing on instinct and enjoying it like they did when they were really successful at it when they played as young kids. We want them to go back to those times as much as possible and just play the game, because that's when they're playing at their best. So when it is in their face 100% of the time, sometimes they can lose track of that, and they can get basically too much into it and be thinking too much and not having any downtime and getting away from it and being able to relax and reset themselves. So, we talk a lot about it. We talk a lot about ways that, you know, in the small confines that we have here, that they can get away from the game and have some time to themselves, be able to get a release from football, which we think will eventually make them better players because they have had that time.
Now, you mentioned before that the great club Carlton, but, you know, let's face it, it's not a club that every footy follower loves. So has your perception changed from being an outside the club and to inside the club? What did you think of Carlton before you started, let's say?
Yeah, it's interesting. Well, my involvement, since I came into AFL football as a 17-year-old has been with interstate clubs. So my thoughts around football have a lot to do with building the game in areas that are non-traditional football places. I played for 15 years in Brisbane, and then after I finished my career there, I went to GWS for 5 years and helped grow the game there and grow that football club. So that's sort of been my involvement in footy. To come to a really established club like Carlton Football Club has been a massive eye-opener. It's definitely the biggest beast in terms of sheer supporters, and I guess everyone has a view on Carlton Football Club, good or bad. It's definitely the biggest club in regards to that I've been involved in. So I guess it's getting my head around that, but also being able to hopefully bring some of my experiences from the other clubs to Carlton, so that they understand what some of the other clubs have to do. And in particular, one thing that is really important to me is making sure that we continue to represent the game to the best of our ability and grow the game to the best of our ability. And I think sometimes with the Melbourne-based clubs, they can lose sight of that because they don't have to get out into the community as much. But I think it's really important, and it also makes players feel that they're contributing to the game, not just on the field, but contributing off the field.
We're talking with Luke Power, Head of Development at the Carlton Football Club. Luke, speaking of off-field focus with the club, Carlton's been fantastic at some of their initiatives. We hosted the AFLW Pride game this year between Carlton and the Bulldogs. But one thing coming up this weekend is the Carlton Respect Match. Can you tell us a little bit about this initiative?
The Carlton Respects program is one that's really important to me as the father of two daughters, and obviously have a beautiful wife also. But it's a program that gets out and educates young people on gender equality and the importance of gender equality, and in particular educating against violence to women. So things have changed for me over the last 10 years. I grew up in a family with three boys, the middle of three boys, and obviously had a really strong female influence with my mother in that family. But since I've had my daughters, and the three of us have then gone on and had seven straight girls, so I guess the important thing for us is that our daughters, you know, live in a better world where women are treated equally and given every opportunity that that males are afforded and every opportunity that they can be afforded.
Yeah, you know, Luke, you're not in charge at home, don't you? you know your daughters are in charge.
Smart lady. Moddy, you're a smart lady.
Yeah. I'm one of three girls and dad didn't have a hope.
they're great. I mean, things have changed, you know, so much for me in terms of what I know now and what I've learned. But so I'm missing the girls at the moment. They're back in Melbourne under stage four restrictions, obviously, and thinking of them and talking to them every day.
So going back to the respect game, since the start of the COVID-19 pandemic, there's been 2/3 of women who have experienced physical or sexual violence by a current or former cohabiting partner, and they've said that violence has started to escalate during this time, which has been a real concern. I know the club does a lot of education in schools. What happens there? What sort of education does Carlton take into schools?
Yeah, so we have a number of staff who go into the schools and educate both teachers and students around those numbers. And also, you know, around what equality looks like. You know, times have changed so much, particularly in recent years, and we all need to be able to move with the time. And as I said, it's important for me because of the way that my family looks now. But I think every person would have a special woman in their lives, whether it be their mother or their daughter or their grandmother or their sister, who they'd want to live in a world, you know, where they could go about doing things like everyone can. So it's really important that kids understand it from a young age, and if we can all be understanding of it and aware of it, and the programs can touch, whether it be a small number of people or a large number of people, it's going to be really important for everyone for living in a better world. It's definitely something that is very close to my heart.
It's a wonderful thing, really, and I think when it's a club, and as you say, an established club, I think people probably do listen. I think your supporters listen, and it's wonderful that you're stepping out and making that happen. There's a relationship between the club and the organisation Our Watch, and the CEO, Paddy Kinnisley, Carlton board member. So can you tell us what that relationship actually is, or how it looks?
Is a really important part of our football club, in particular with our female program, which we're very passionate about, and everyone at Carlton Football Club's really supportive of our AFLW program and make the best that it possibly can be. And I know now that a number of our staff and players are going across both programs to really push both programs forward and make sure that they're connected as much as possible, and that the opportunities that are being given in that AFL program are at least equal to the ones that are being afforded to the male program. Something the club's very passionate about. It has been since day one. And I think as a result, we get really good energy from our female players and staff and really good support the other way. So it's definitely made it a more inclusive club, and it's definitely made it, a club that's more diverse and at the end of the day, a better club.
It's it is a wonderful thing. Fee and I and our other chicks talking footy chicks were at the first AFLW match against Collingwood. And one thing that I suppose I hadn't thought about before, but it did surprise me when I saw it, was there were bunches of guys who weren't there with women, and they were wearing their Carlton or Collingwood jumpers. It just showed that the take-up happened quite quickly in some circles, and it was really wonderful, and that sounds like it's only increased since then.
It's almost tribal, isn't it? You know, the way that footy is, if you've got a men's team, then you're going to barrack pretty hard for the women's team too. So it's been fantastic how the community have got around it. And my daughters currently don't play AFL at the moment, but I'd love them to. But I just love the fact that they have the opportunity to be able to play. Whether they decide to take that up or not is their choice at the end of the day. And say that I probably won't have a say in it, like you said before. But I think the fact that they have the opportunity and the choice to be able to do that is just fantastic. And the amount of sports now that are available to girls, young girls, is just so good. And I think the competition is going to continue to go from strength to strength, because these girls are going to be coming in now, and they're not going to have been playing just for 2 or 3 years, but they're going to have been playing for 10 to 15 years. So we're going to see them just grow and grow and become really, really good. I'm looking forward to seeing it continue in the future.
Oh, fantastic. Well, Luke, thanks so much for giving us some time tonight. If anyone wants to help Carlton Respects, you can head to carltonrespects.com.au/donate. Donate
or forward slash, perhaps.
Or even forward slash donate. Put your slash the right way, that's what I say. But yeah, thanks so much, Luke. We really loved having you on the show.
Fly me to the moon and let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, darling, kiss me.
It's Chicks Talking Footy, and the chicks tonight are Fee, Rachel, and me, Motti. And it is time to dim your lights and get your little smoking jacket on and play your favourite music because it's dinner or table time. Ooh. Fee, I think you're going to kick it off.
I am. Look, I always seem to serve a main course for entree, but I want to talk about, this was all over AFL Twitter and news this week, but journalist Mitch Cleary was stood down this week for tweeting about Brooke Cotchin. I just want to play you the timeline that was given by Sam McClure on Footy Classifieds this week, because it'll give you an understanding of what happened from A to B, and then we'll discuss our opinions about it.
Moving right along, there's been an uproar in footy media and journalism in the past 24 hours over the standing down of AFL.com.au reporter Mitch Cleary. Sam McClure joins us at the Plasma. Welcome, Sam. What can you tell us about how today unfolded?
Yeah, thanks, Hutchie. Good evening. A strange 72 hours in the world of AFL media. You're absolutely right. We thought we'd just take you through a brief timeline of what has happened with Mitch Cleary and obviously the breach protocols, particularly that of Brooke Cotchin. Now, it started last week on this program. Caro's Arrow first revealed and talked about, alluded to Caro, some misgivings essentially that may have gone on at SeaWorld, the breaching of AFL protocols. They were then investigated and they were revealed by the Age newspaper on Wednesday night. By Thursday, during a radio interview on 3RW, Caro said this.
In the case of Richmond, the captain's wife, Trent Cotchin, Brooke Cotchin, went to a local beauty salon and posted it on social media. I gather she had a facial or something like that. Didn't ask permission. I think the club's pretty mortified. Their compliance officer, Steve Wyatt, is mortified. Brendan Gale is mortified. And everyone's really disappointed.
Now, you can see the timestamp there, 12:39 Thursday afternoon. That's important because Caro's revelation was the first time that Brooke Cotchin had actually been mentioned by name. Now, by Friday, several journalists, including Mitch Cleary, AFL.com, and Tom Morris on Fox Sports, then used a screenshot that you can see here of what Brooke Cotchin actually posted on her Instagram story. Mitch then, on his private Twitter account, which is obviously work-related to AFL.com, was revealing that on Friday afternoon. He was stood down by Saturday morning and then reinstated by this afternoon, Monday afternoon, had this to say when returning to work on his podcast.
Clearly, I wasn't aware of, you know, the protection of the names that we had in place and the AFL had put in place. And, you know, I concede I should have been across that, really. We made a call as a website not to name the individuals involved. And once I was made aware of that and asked to take the post down, I did so. The last thing I wanted to do was cause extra angst to the Cotchin family. I just felt at the time that I was just adding a layer to something that was already out there. The support's been overwhelming, really, not only our team.
A lot happened in 48 hours in AFL journalism, but there was a big uproar.
A lot has happened.
Yeah, a lot happened.
Understandably.
There was a big uproar when he was stood down. It seemed very unfair. As Titus O'Reilly said, wait until you see when journalists report on things that didn't actually happen, because he was only sharing the name and the situation that Brooke Cotchin herself had shared. And to her credit, she got online, took complete ownership that she'd done the wrong thing and apologised. They are paying the fine, personally. And she said she didn't think that it was worthy of him being stood down. Mm. I thought it was a big overstretch and I'm not sure even where the AFL are coming from with it.
I don't either, because he wasn't, it's not as if he broke it and it's not as if there was a, you know, moratorium to not mention anyone's name. It had already been mentioned by Caro.
Yeah,
exactly.
Brooke Cotchin's name had already been revealed. So why when he just gone, you know, that's my problem.
It doesn't make any sense. So if Brooke Cotchin, though, has posted it on social media, it therefore becomes public information anyway?
It does.
Or was it? Right.
Well, it is.
Other journalists have disclosed it. And my understanding is there must have been some sort of editorial decision by the AFL media to protect those involved, and it was because of their well-being. But I don't believe there's any evidence of that decision being disseminated to their staff, according to the media. And B, on what basis was that decision made if it had already been disclosed to the public? So I find it hard to believe it's a legal decision. But then I'm quite confused as well, because what it could be is that what Mitch McClure may have done was posted that story on his own personal account, as opposed to an AFL media account. And that might be in breach of internal policies or protocols to which we're not privy. But even so, is that enough of a action to which would mean that you would receive a penalty of being stood down? The whole thing is very bizarre.
Is it that the AFL might have felt and threatened that, you know, because any COVID breach could put the season in jeopardy. WA go, no, people aren't living, you know, people aren't following the protocols and it's putting our community at risk, shut down. You know, is that what they're scared of?
She'd already posted it.
I get what you're saying, Rachel, but what I'm saying is, why were the AFL threatened by it? Is it because something like this, if there was enough players or players' families that did this, would it shut down the AFL season? And it has the potential to do that.
I think there's a stench coming out of it, because he's a journalist and he's reporting on football, but by the AFL standing him down, what they're saying is, no, you'll only report on football the way we want you to report on football.
Yeah, it's very...
Admittedly, he's employed by them, but... Yeah.
And
that's what I have a real problem with that.
It does, because it brings up a really interesting point about journalism and integrity and conflict. So... any media organisation that's attached to the AFL therefore be independent? And if they cannot, then should we as a public or community be engaging with that media outlet? Probably not. But I understand what you're saying as well, Fiona, about the fact that the impact or consequence could be dire and shut down the AFL as we know it. But regardless, the point is that Brooke took it upon herself to post it on social media. So I assume, and I don't really understand how social media works, granted, but I assume that anybody in the public could go back to knowing that it was her. So that threat existed as soon as that person decided to do that, whether or not he or any other journalist reposted it.
She took it down, so she put the post up.
Okay.
Found out that it wasn't obviously whoever, someone within Richmond or the AFL or whatever said, no, you're not allowed to do that, take that down. So she took it down. So by the time Mitch Cleary posted it on Twitter, it was no longer on her account. He'd sort of saved the tweet, or someone else had say. I don't know how that unfolded. So it was something that had been withdrawn, and he sort of put it back up again. Still don't see an issue with it. As we just heard, Caro Wilson was the first one to mention the name,
Should be able to report without fear or favour, really, shouldn't they?
Absolutely, shouldn't they? But what's funny about it also is that they've got the AFL have got hysterical about that and standing down a journo. But our old friend Nathan Buckley
has
a game of tennis.
Have we gone on to a new course,
Mr. Buckley, with his also with his assistant coach as well.
And
so there's cross-contamination issues there as well.
They're employed by the AFL. Just let's make that clear. As employees of a club, technically they're employed by the AFL.
Correct. They haven't been stood down. They got a fine, which in their defence, I believe they've offered to pay, because half of it was suspended. So they got a $50,000 fine, $25,000 was suspended, and they've both offered to pay personally $25,000. Which, to their credit, I mean, I think they should But yes, I agree. I mean, Eddie Maguire, I think, came out on the was on the radio a few days before, or possibly even after, talking about the lack of clarity with regards to protocols. I don't think that anybody who has read the DHHS guidelines or is aware of their own internal protocols at any organisation would not know that you can't play tennis with
You can play tennis with each other. But I also you mentioned the words Eddie and Maguire in together. He had a lot to say about Brooke Cotchin posting that, and he said the AFL need to come down hard, or I'm paraphrasing, you know, people should be sent home, AB, blah, 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 the next person. And then, well, surprisingly, no, when his own coach does it, buttons his lip. Just, you know, he's two-faced, or, you know, a turncoat, or all of those comments, I think, Eddie. It's not consistent.
Well, he's a one-eye Collingwood supporter. Yeah.
They're everywhere. Look, it's really disappointing, I think, that people are breaching protocols. And I guess, in fairness, as the AFL is creating their own, the AFL does need to ensure they do provide that clarity and that consistency to everybody within the organisation to ensure that people are able to follow them. And I appreciate it's a really difficult and stressful time for everybody, but I think, honestly, playing tennis is just, it seems pretty obvious to me that common sense should prevail.
Maybe that's just me.
Common sense isn't that common, though, but yes, it should.
Well, that's a very good point. That's a very good point.
Okay, I've got a very quick thing to ask you both. Over the course of this season so far, 9, 10, 18 rounds, whatever we've had so far, we've all at various times gone, should we pull the season? Should it continue? What should happen? Should it have an asterisk? So what do you think now?
I think that the season's actually seeming a lot more stable than it did, you know, a few weeks ago, because now that we've got the Queensland and WA hubs set up, those states are looking very stable. So I feel like we're going to get, I feel secure that we're going to get to the end of the season where it was, every week was like, oh, are we going to have to stop the season? Are we going to have to pause games? We've so far only had to pause one game, which was the Essendon Melbourne game because of Connor McKenna. I feel like we're going to get to the end, and then the grand final venue just has to be announced and we're set. I feel it's in a much more stable place. I think that the clubs that are flourishing right now are the ones that have been able to survive playing in hubs. Every team's pretty much had to do it. I think it's an exciting season.
I don't think it's even. I think I thought it was okay 6 weeks ago, which was you guys, Rachel, you particularly was like, no, and you and Beck were like, nah, pull the season.
Yep.
I thought it was fine because I thought if we got to 17 games, it's even. It's really not. As I said before about Port Adelaide and now West Coast, they're in their own beds. You know, other teams are travelling, hubs, it's not even. But what I will say is thank the Lord for football, because I think it's doing a community service to anyone that follows us, keeping us all alive. That's a stretch.
It is.
But keeping us all...
Listening to Chicks Talking Footy tonight, follow us on the socials, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and also give us a rating on iTunes if you like it.
10 out of 10.
Go footy!